Now at McDonald's, a McDouble is only $2.50. So you can get your gym gains on or just get lunch for only $2.50. Get more value on the under $3 menu.
Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. Prices may be higher for delivery.
Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
Hey, if you suffered an injury in an accident and would like a free case review, make sure you call the super team at Daspit Law Firm. Free consultations are available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Dial 713-322-HURT. That's 713-322-HURT. Or you can go to the website, DaspitLaw.com.
The most interactive sports talk show in Houston continues now.
What's happening, Paul? What's up, Paul? Most interactive show, and I really enjoy that aspect of it. Y'all keep it up.
Get involved in the conversation by dialing or texting 713-780-3776. Here's Paul Gallant.
Pitch one. Oh, 들어올렸습니다. 자, 크게 날아가. 모두가 떠올랐습니다. 대지환의 끝내기!
이야, 이런 코리안대가 나오네요. 와,
해적선을 승리로 움직이는 선수, 다름 아닌 대한민국의 배지환입니다.
야, 이 해적선.
I'm not sold that the Astros radio broadcast is better than that. If you had two Korean guys doing play-by-play of the Houston Astros on a nightly basis and had no idea what they were saying, would you not be entertained? There's so much energy, so much emotion, and that is because of G-Man Bay, the Pittsburgh Pirates player last night, hitting a walk-off home run, the same day that G-Man Choi also hit a home run. First time that two Korean players hit a home run in the same game on the same team. How about that?
I do think that they're great broadcasters, bring a lot of energy. I'm not sure if they're the everyday Astros broadcasters, I don't think they'd be as excited.
I think they
for
would.
Like a Alex Bregman home run in the second inning. I don't think they'd have,
you know what,
the,
that is true.
Quite the juice.
It would be one player. Legitimately, it would have to be probably a Korean-born player.
The Astros would have to make some trades.
Yeah. Yeah, that's fair.
Trade Jose Abreu for G-Man Choi.
Say they get Jose Abreu, it's not going great to start. That's true, Sean. I am not sold, however. And if you're just tuning in, we do find it very amusing that pretty much all NFL draft chatter this week has been somebody saying, I'm not sold. I'm not sold that Jose Abreu is going to be able to give you a lot more than what he's giving. And I base it off of things that we did see starting to trend last year. The power went down. The ability to hit for contact went up. It's not like he is completely irredeemable to this point, but he's slapping the ball around. He is not crushing the ball, which is compounded by the fact that Yuli Gurriel is hitting 381 in Miami. He's only played in six games. What is that? Half of the games that have been played to this point across baseball for most teams. So it's not to say that this is going to continue. You could say the same thing for Jose Abreu, but we can only operate in the present. I am not sold that Jose Abreu is going to be amazing the same way that I felt he could be going into the year. I'm not sold that this Astros lineup is in trouble. I know that they're not scoring enough runs, but I think that there are excuses you can make for them. Mauricio Dubon is playing well for Jose Altuve, so that does perhaps make you feel a little bit better about the prolonged absence he's going to have. But you do wonder, okay, well, what's going on with Michael Brantley? Still, you're getting awesome play out of Kyle Tucker to open the year. Yordan's been looking pretty good. The lineup, to me, the issues are annoying, but they're not issues that I think are going to continue. The Astros bullpen, I'm just not sold on them right now. And it's not offensive to say that. It should not be offensive to say that. If you think that this bullpen is pitching well right now, you're on the crack. And some people are. You know, there are a couple people out there who's probably, you know, fired up today. And listen, I'm not judging you, okay? We wouldn't do that. I'm just saying if you think that the Astros bullpen has been good this year, you're crazy. And I also feel like it's okay to just say that right now it's not good. You're not saying that it wasn't good in the playoffs last year. You're not saying that it won't figure itself out. But Ryan Presley has been doo-doo, and he gave up a three-run home run last night. Ryan Stanek hasn't been good. Seth Martinez hasn't been good. Last time we saw Ronel Blanco, it wasn't good. The bullpen has cost them games. So you can say accurately that the bullpen is a problem. Problems don't last all year long. Some players go through slumps. Pitchers obviously can go through slumps themselves. But when your offense isn't scoring and you're starting pitching, I would specifically point to Christian Javier, isn't pitching up to his potential last night. He did not. Then it lends itself to a 7-4 loss to the Pittsburgh Pirates. So they're going to wrap up this series later today. I believe first pitch is at 12:01. You know what's fun about working in sports radio? It is still, from time to time, an industry where people will call into the station to ask for information about sports. Hey, what time does the game start? Hey, what channel is the game on? Hey, thing that I could easily Google and look up on my phone or on my computer or anywhere. I'm going to make a phone call to ask somebody that works at the sports radio station. And we're thankful that we provide this service, but shouldn't we charge for it?
I definitely, if you asked me when I was an intern and I would, my entire job was basically answer phones. And yeah, there's a lot of that.
I think we should charge them. There's a lot of like,
oh, it's not on AT&T Southwest. And I am literally sitting there like on in front of a computer trying to figure it out. Like I am Googling, I'm doing what you could do. So yes, we should charge.
Yeah, I think so.
Or we could just start, you know, maybe answer a few questions. Like right now, if you're driving around, you're like, where can I watch the Astros? Well, A, get out of your car. That's first. You can't watch it in your car.
No,
although
you can't.
Maybe
you can't. Some people do it.
On the app. I don't know.
Don't tell people to watch the Astros and drive.
I'm not telling to do it. I'm saying you can do it.
You shouldn't, though.
You shouldn't. You should not.
I'm not sold that you'll make it from point A to point B if you're watching the Astros and driving.
I'm not sure you're a real Astros fan if you're you're not willing to
I'm not
to
allowing
risk
that.
It.
The most mad anyone's ever gotten at me while hosting a radio show has had nothing to do with many of the stupid things that I've said, either seriously or sarcastically along the way. One person lost his mind and decided to write an email to the station flagship, the boss, because he called in and he like was trying to ask me something for trivia purposes. And I think he was trying to prove that he's smarter than me. So I said, all right, you got this? Get a pen, get a paper. And he said, yeah, I'm waiting. So I said, okay, W. Hang on. Wait a second. We got to go back. http://www.google.com. And the guy paused for a second. And then he said, did you just tell me to go to Google? I said, yes. And while he wasted my time, that wasting of my time turned into a wasting of everybody's time. And somebody wrote an email saying that it is the most rude thing that they have ever heard in sports talk radio. And I was like, I thought I turned that into something kind of entertaining.
Also, there's a lot more rude stuff that gets said in sports talk
yes,
radio.
Seriously. Anyway, it's the Paul Gallant Show, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5, 713-780-3776 to call, to text in as well. You could join us on our often toxic Twitch. Oh, guess what? They're complaining about something. What the bleep else is new? Coming up next, should we talk about the many things that NFL draft experts aren't sold on? Or we could play some D'Amico Ryan's audio and try to determine whether or not we're sold on him as the head coach of this team. Paul Gallant Show, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Stick around.
ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Real fun sports. Houston's most interactive and possibly radioactive sports talk show continues now on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant.
The theme of the day, I'm not sold, because that's been the majority of NFL draft reporting from the 832 on the most interactive sports talk show in Houston. I'm not sold that Jose is the best hitting Abreu on the Astros. Is Ryan Abreu a good hitter? Honestly, I wouldn't know. RIP, pitcher's batting. Thank God they got rid of it.
Maybe they should do like an Abreu swap one day just to get them each out of their funk, you know?
Could you get...
Have Jose Abreu have the seventh inning one game?
We could bring Bobby Abreu back.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, let's do that.
How old is Bobby Abreu right now? Bobby 55. Abreu, 49.
What?
Which nickname do you like better, of Bob Kelly Abreu? I love that his middle name is Kerry. There is El Camadulce.
Oh, okay.
There's also La Leche. So, he's the milk?
I like La Leche.
The milk, or
that's a funny nickname to have.
El Camadulce. Yeah, I don't know what the hell that means.
I don't know.
Another text. This is from the 281. Jose Siri is hitting 318 on an undefeated Tampa Bay Devil Rays team. Oh, that's bad. Remember when the Astros had Jose Siri?
El Comaduce means the candy eater.
Oh, that's a much better nickname.
Yeah, that is better.
I like that. But those are great nicknames. Two good nicknames. I like it. So shout out to Bobby Abreu. Anyway, the Astros lost last night. We're frustrated with the bullpen right now. It does not mean that they are doomed, but you're allowed to be frustrated with the bullpen. We are going to continue to live in the present when it comes to this team. The Astros bullpen is a problem right now. That's not arguable. It is a problem. It won't necessarily be a problem the remainder of the year, but currently it is a problem. Back, though, to the Houston Texans. It's football time in Houston. We do have a bit of a tea leaf when it comes to what might happen at the top of the draft. Panthers Vice President of Football Operations, Stephen Drummond, resigned today. Huh. Drummond spent 18 years with the Panthers after coming to Carolina from Jacksonville. He's working on completing his MBA at the University of North Carolina. So maybe he's resigning to get his MBA. But don't you think it's more likely that the Vice President of Football Operations is resigning because he disagrees with one of the more important decision makers when it comes to draft evaluation? So it could be that he disagrees with Frank Reich and what sounds like his love of guys like CJ Stroud. He might be a bit of a heightsist, or it could be that Dave Tepper really wants Bryce Young and Stephen Drummond is like, no. Or it could be none of those two things. I'm not sold on any of them. I just want to make that clear. But I'm also not sold that it's not any of those things.
I'm not sold that this is a big deal.
You're not sold?
I'm not sold that this is a big
deal. I'm not sold that this is not a big deal.
Do you have this like in like a movie, like in a boardroom where he's like banging the table for CJ Stroud and everyone's like, no, no, blah, blah, blah. And he's like, well, then, you
then
know
I'm
what?
Then I'm out.
I'm out. What's yeah. his title?
He is the Vice President of Football Operations.
Wow.
Yeah, I mean, that's a pretty big title.
Yeah. Is there a President of Football Operations?
That's a good question.
The title, by the way, we need to get back to where the guy who makes all the decisions is just called the GM.
That would make sense, right? Because there's a lot of...
There's so much title inflation where, like... like
assistant president of football operations.
And then, like, they're making trades, and it's a GM talking to, yeah, like, the baseball ops president or whatever. You're
yes.
like, what, just everyone have the same title. Why do we have these made up, like, just so one guy can be a little bit higher than the other?
It's all about money. If you don't give somebody the president of baseball operations, you don't have to pay him as much.
You're just making up titles. These titles didn't exist. They just made them out of thin air.
Imagine if you're like the vice president of consulting somewhere. Like, are you the most worthless person in the American workforce? Vice president of consulting, which is already anyway. We'll move on.
Yeah. Wow. I'm sure a lot of the
big consults right now. They didn't
like
hearing
they're
that.
Driving around trying to find the Astros game on their app.
By the way,
trying to watch their Astros game while listening to the Paul Gallant show.
I would kill to be a consultant. That must be the greatest job.
Radio consultant.
Oh yeah, that'd be awesome.
Seems like a sweet gig.
I don't think anyone would pay the person who's saying that all NFL draft talk is bleeping stupid to be a radio consultant. They'd probably be like, how is this guy employed still by a station that's ESPN? But hey, they love me. That's why.
Your consulting work would be like, I don't know, watch Nick Cage movies. I don't know.
Yeah, it would be probably. I think I'm here because they like me at parties. I'm not sure that I'm here because of like sports knowledge, overall talent.
No, your vibes. Your vibe. You're Gerald Green on the Rockets.
Yeah, all I have is like the occasional fourth quarter dunk in an 8-point lead game, and then you just play Still Tipping in the background.
When you check in, everyone stands up and starts clapping. Like,
hell yeah, dude. You know what? I'd be cool with that.
You're Brian Scalabrine.
I'd embrace that role. I would. I'm not too proud. You know, I have a little bit of an ego, but, like, it's not that big of an ego.
John and Lance are, like, the KG and Garnett, and you're the Brian Scalabrine.
Yeah. Yeah. Although I'd probably be closer to, like, Grant Williams. Because I do contribute, but I'm also annoying to everyone.
I don't know why in my head this is all, like, the 2009 Celtics, but I was going to give you Leon Poe.
Leon Poe, that's
yeah, good energy guy off the bench.
That's
get some rebounds.
You know who could be a good coach? Wow, what a transition.
D'Amico Ryans.
D'Amico Ryans.
He might be.
Speaking of the Carolina Panthers, D'Amico was asked if he's spoken with the Carolina Panthers, again, who saw their vice president of football operations, Stephen Drummond, resign today, possibly dramatically. I'm not sold on that. Anyway, here's D'Amico Ryans.
Yeah, we won't, again, I won't get into draft strategy and trades and all of those things.
Oh, well, come on. Give me more. Give me more, D'Amico Ryans. Please sell me on football press conferences being more than completely meaningless. Here is what D'Amico Ryans had to say yesterday about the biggest difference in the draft process now that he is the big man, the head coach.
The cool part about this process with the draft for the past 3 years, you know, when I was in San Fran, I've sat through draft meetings for every position. So this is not a new year for me. It's the same as it's been the past 3 years. I mean, sat in and heard evaluations from all of the offensive prospects and defensive prospects. So for me, it's very important for me to have the coach's input, have the scouts' input, have everybody's input on a player to make sure that we're adding the right guys to our team. So it's a new process for me. Been through it a couple years, so it's the same. It's pretty interesting to see, you know, when you go through it a few times, it's easy to kind of comp players to different players from the past. So it's been an interesting process.
I love it.
It's been an interesting process.
Know what that was
what?
Right there? That is alignment between a head coach and a GM. About how they handle press conferences.
They're so good at just talking and saying nothing.
What's the line from The Departed? Feed them bleep, keep them in the dark?
Yeah. We need to get that as a drop, I think, going on. Because that is essentially every single press conference. Here's what's noteworthy along the way in that quote. And you're probably thinking, wow, Paul, you actually heard something of value there? Yes. If you ever want to piss off somebody from San Francisco, call it San Fran. How do you know D'Amico Ryans is Houston and not West Coast? Because he said San Fran. They get so pissed off when you say that. The one time I was in San Francisco, I was outside of a bar. We were waiting in line. And I asked the person, like, so where's, like, the fun areas of San Fran? Because I was kind of depressed by all the garbage on the street. This is in 2019. This is before the pandemic. So I was looking around, and I was like, this is just a dirty city. It's got some pretty views, that's for sure. But there's just, like, plastic bags flying around everywhere. And the person says, oh, we don't say that. I was like, what, San Fran? She's like,
what,
yeah,
we fun don't... area?
Well, that, too. But she said, yeah, we don't say San Fran. It's like, why? It's a lot easier. What do you say? SF?
Frisco.
They really hate that.
What?
They really
what? But Dr. Dre said it at the end of California Love.
They hate that.
A man
too.
From LA said that.
They listen. They're particular.
Hmm. I'm you know what? I'm
it's probably all the taxes.
They're I'm just gonna miserable. Just call it Frisco. Because it's fun to say.
But Frisco's an actual city in California.
It's also a town in Texas, but or it's a suburb in Texas.
Oh, okay.
It's a Dallas suburb.
Is it a Chris Stapleton song?
No.
I'm going to Frisco by morning, right? That's Chris Stapleton. Sean's deeply sighing there. D'Amico Ryans at his press conference said that all that matters at quarterback is having the right guy.
With the quarterback position, it's all about the guy. Right? We talk about a rookie quarterback, a veteran quarterback. It doesn't matter. Like, what's the makeup of the guy? And is he worthy to start for your team? That's all that matters. It doesn't matter where the guy is in his career. Is he a rookie? Is he third year, fourth year? Who's the best guy? Who's the right guy for our team? And we don't know that right now. We haven't lined up and went out and practiced football at all, so we'll figure that out when the time comes.
I love it. God, he's just messing with everybody. It's great. Cause
third year? Who's that?
This is Davis Mills, baby. Oh, I love it. I do love that they don't give anyone anything because it leads to reports by people that are actually trusted that start with, I'm not sold on something. It's like, you're really playing the probability games. You don't think this will happen? Wow, man. Way to go on a limb. But you're not even going to say this won't happen. You're just going to say, I'm not sold. And then on top of it, I mean, they're making it seem like they might go after some sort of veteran quarterback. I like it. I like that they are really keeping you on your toes. They're like a extremely unpredictable significant other. And you're okay with the crazy, even though that you know it's going to end poorly. You're okay with the crazy. I like it.
What year is Lamar Jackson? He's like fifth or sixth, right? Yeah, he has to be like fifth or sixth
because
he's getting a new contract.
Yeah, I don't think. I mean, I think that the one
so
thing.
So it is Davis Mills.
The one thing, Sean.
He didn't say 14th, so it's not Case Keenum.
There's only one. That's true, too. Although they did talk about Case Keenum at the press conference. They did talk about
him. Did they say how great of a personality he has?
I wonder who asked the question. I'm trying to figure out like who asked it and were they writing like a puff piece about Case Keenum.
Was Andrew Carlson there? Was Jeremy Branham there?
No.
Any of the Kuga Illuminati? I don't know.
The Kuga lot. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah, it's hard.
Working title. We'll work on it. Well, look, we all know that, I mean, Jeremy Branham, not a true Kug because he wants Will Levis and not what's his face? Whose name
Clayton
is Illuminati?
Tune.
Clayton
facts.
Tune. My bad. I'm a big UH guy. I'm way more clued in.
That's facts.
You pay attention to the spring game? Trick question. Didn't happen.
No cap.
But spring practice was really interesting, said Dana Holgorsen.
Really interesting. Learned a lot.
We did learn a lot.
Made some friends.
But I'm not sold that I can share those details with you. Paul Galacho, ESPN 97.5 92.5, 713-780-3776 to call, to text. HRW says, Paul, if you don't stop talking draft, I'm not. I'm talking about D'Amico Ryans, your head coach. I'm talking about him. Okay? Come on. Give him some time. Up next on this fine radio program of ours. There we go. Do we still love this Astro? I'm not talking about Mike Fiers. Do we love this guy? We used to, but has he gone too far on the internet? It's Paul Galacho, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
ESPN 97.5.
locked in with the Paul Gallant Show.
You're locked in here with me.
Please send help from the Veritex Community Bank Studios. Here's Paul Gallant.
You might remember Evan Gattis with the Houston Astros for his girthy forearms, his ability to club dingers. And now you probably know him because the guy has zero filter on the internet. This has gone, I guess, viral over the last couple of days. I think it was late on Monday night where Evan Gattis seems like he had a little bit to drink and started to be very, very transparent. He opened the kimono. Someone tweeted at him. He responded saying about playing left field back in 2015. I think I was actually at one of those games. It was at Fenway Park against the Boston Red Sox. I just remember he ate so many sunflower seeds because we were standing in the green on the Green Monster, and I just was looking over the edge, and I was just struck by how many sunflower seeds Evan Gattis ate. Got to power those forearms with something.
Some of those might have been Andrew Benintendi or whoever the left fielder was.
I don't think
so. For
the
Red Sox?
No, like the bag was in his pocket. Like, he left an absolute mess. It was like, what's that restaurant where you can eat the peanuts and throw it on the floor? Texas Roadhouse?
Sure.
There's some Texas Cattle Company. I think that's what it is. I'm not even sure if they have them here in Texas. I just know that you eat there, you eat peanuts, and you can throw them on the floor and no one cares. They're just all over the floor there. Anyway, Gattis tweeted, I could guarantee when I was in left field, I was terrified and probably on a performance-enhancing drug both times that this person went out to see him. Then someone asked Evan, how many bangs of the trash cans did you hear in the 2017 postseason? Gattis responded saying, it depends on the pitch. He was asked about buzzers, and he said, I have no idea. It used to be possible. If anyone used it, they didn't tell him. I got to say, when it comes to Gattis, he didn't say anything that any of us are denying, right? Like, we all know the Astros cheated in some way, shape, or form. The thing that we say here is that there are other teams across baseball that were doing it. But some people, and I would specifically point to Yankees and Dodgers fans, are looking at Evan Gattis as, I guess, another smoking gun. But this is more of, you know, John Moran's little 22, right? It's like this smoking pea shooter. That's what it is. This isn't a big deal. But I'm curious if people still love Evan Gattis. I love Evan Gattis. Part of it's because I'm jealous of his forearms. But the other part of it is, too, I just think he's amusing online. And I have no problem with somebody being transparent about the entire thing. Gattis, we got really good at deciphering signs when runners were on base, even from first and third, tipping pitches. We were the best team on the planet at everything. Like, what a line. But Gattis also went down a rabbit hole of other takes on Twitter. And I'm wondering if people are getting mad about this part of it too. He tweeted, this racist bleep is being pushed on us at 2:32. And people are all responding to him saying, hey, it might be time to seek some help.
2:32
a.m.
Oh, a.m.
2:32 a.m.
Oh.
Yes.
I think that's why this isn't like, I don't feel like this is like blowing up, you know?
No, it's not. I think some people are sort of like collectively rolling their eyes at him.
It's like, you know, at a family function. Like once someone gets a little too sauced up, you're just like, yeah, whatever he says, we're just going to kind of roll with it. Let him say it. Because, I don't know. There is something about Evan Gattis where this is not a bombshell.
Yeah, look.
It's just like, yeah, that's Evan Gattis. He just kind of, he does this every once in a while on Twitter.
So this is basically his not talking about cheating stream of consciousness. Happy Easter to all you idiots. If you've never been without fear, the first time can be a bit shocking.
Those are separate tweets, right?
Yes.
Okay, that would be a hilarious all one tweet.
It's not a thread, it's like a thread.
Yeah, this is just his what's it called? Profile.
Yes. freedom isn't necessarily comfortable.
Hmm.
Am I allowed to say the R word? Because he tweeted out the R word.
I don't think you are.
Okay. We've been kept R worded, meaning held back from potential. And I guess this is in response to him saying freedom isn't necessarily comfortable. He also says racism is very important, y'all. Name calling is really important. I feel like he's trying to be sarcastic here.
I don't know if he's being sarcastic. That's another one where you can go, racism is very important, and you don't know. It's like, are you pro or against racism?
Right. Like exactly.
It's important. Don't take it away from me. Or it's important.
If he added
we didn't talk
little,
about it.
I think I know where he's going here, but if he added a little bit of context, certain people online wouldn't get mad. Evan Gaddis continued tweeting. And I'm enjoying this, and I feel like, look, we live in the United States of America. Nothing he's saying here is wrong.
Yeah, nothing he said, like, there's much more important people that say much worse things than
100%.
This. Like, this is just a former baseball player tweeting at 2 a.m.
What he's trying to say here, based off of reading it now, and it's...
Like, trying to put it all together, like,
right.
detective?
He's trying to say that... racism, which he actually tweets right here, in the form of name-calling, is something. But I guess he doesn't think it's as big of a problem as other things. Bigger than that is something else he goes with. And again, I'm trying to explain him. I probably shouldn't, because he tweets right afterwards, oh no, I don't give a bleep. And then he puts up a pirate flag. And then afterwards, he tweets, ever been in love? Night. And it turns out I say stupid stuff from time to time. Night. But I think what he was trying to say here, and perhaps this is me really caping and playing PR for Evan Gaddis, who should give me at least a portion of the meat in his forearms so that I can have... What? I want his forearms. I've said this a million times on the air. Anyone who's listened to me long enough knows
it's just...
I have forearm envy.
I'll grab the drop.
I want some of the forearm meat. Just stuff it in there. It'll look like Popeye. What? Stop laughing. This is me talking through my thoughts the same way Evan Gaddis tweets through his.
Okay, so you want him to stuff his forearm meat?
I would like some of his excess forearm muscles. No, in my forearms.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
No,
you said stuff it in there.
Yeah, in the forearms. I was pointing. Okay. Oh. If you're watching a Twitch,
you're not pointing.
Yes, I was. Yes, I was. You're lying. Sean's lying now. I am not.
You're
sold.
Pointing now. You pointed the second or third time, but the first time you just said stuff it in there.
I'm not sold on that. I'm not sold on that. Maybe
I'll pull the tape. I'll get Jack to pull on this.
Hey, Sean, shut it for just a second, okay? I'm trying to get to the point like Evan Gaddis got to the point. I think what Evan Gaddis is trying to say is that we're getting a little bit too angry about words as opposed to actions. That's, I think, what he was trying to say here. And Evan Gaddis, you can pay me in the form of forearm meat. Just give me some so I can have it. I know that's weird, but you look at your forearms. They're so big. I feel like Charlie's uncle in Always Sunny in Philadelphia with his tiny hands. When I look at your forearms, I'm just like, damn. If I had big forearms, I'd be able to take the world by storm.
You're going to come in with like a long sleeve shirt and they're just like wrapped like in beach towels.
I want my forearms to be bigger than my biceps. I know that doesn't make any sense.
You do want the Popeye look.
But I have these spindly little forearms that clearly my impoverished Irish ancestors used to like probably like reach through like metal grates so that they could grab like a piece of moldy bread. Like, feed their children with it, you know? Because I'm guessing they were all in cages or something like that because of the English and how, you know, awful they were to the Irish. But again, it was 100 years ago. Who actually knows what happened? I'm not sold on what happened there. Paul Galancho, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Yeah, we're all over the place. Whatever. You love it. Up next, the Astros bullpen is a problem. Fight me. Paul Galancho, don't go anywhere.
Who's this?
Hey, this is Trey Wingo. You're listening to ESPN 97.5 Houston. Hello.
You're listening to The Paul Gallant Show with Paul Gallant on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Featuring Paul Gallant alongside special guest Paul Gallant. Now from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant.
The most interactive sports talk show in Houston. Some on the Twitch, you could watch the show on Twitch, twitch.tv/ESPN975, are saying that my haircut looks a tad Aryan. Hey, that's not true. It's just a fade up. I would say it looks a little bit closer to the Peaky Blinders. Thomas Shelby.
Yeah, it looks nothing like Arian Foster's hair.
Well, that's true, because it's...
Is that what they mean when they say Arian?
No, they mean the bad Arians. The bad ones. Yeah. I'm not thrilled with that.
I will say it looks more like the bad Arians than the former running back for the Houston Texans.
I look a lot more like Thomas Shelby. Sam Neill. Sam Neill's Irish character. I'm not really 100% sure what that accent was supposed to be in Peaky Blinders season 1 and 2, but gotta say, I like it. I feel like I can actually do a good
impersonation. I was thinking Sam Elliott. I was like, I don't think...
That would be amazing.
I don't think he can do an Irish
Sam job. Elliott, there's no... Sam Elliott doing a British accent, if that ever happens, honestly, we've lost America. Sam Elliott
him
is,
doing any accent.
Sam Elliott can only do some sort of Southern and or Texas drawl. And it needs to sound like he has been smoking Marlboros.
He can only
life.
Play the guy he played in Tombstone or the guy he played in Big Lebowski.
Yes.
No, nothing else.
If you watched 1883, guess what he plays? The same guy, which is awesome. So it's cool to be typecast from time to time. So look, the Astros bullpen is currently a problem. You can't argue this. It currently is a problem. It has lost them more games than it has won them this year. And I know a lot of you are going to point to the playoffs last season. You are going to point to the fact that it's early in the year and cool, neat, splendid. But we need to stop living in the past or thinking about the future. Let's just talk about what we saw right in front of us the night before. We should all be able to do this. I'm not panicking. I'm not freaking out. I just don't like what I'm seeing out of the bullpen. And it's a shame because last night you had some clutch moments, specifically from Chaz McCormick. Alex Bregman finally got going. And while Jose Abreu wasn't hitting for power, which is getting a little bit frustrating, at the very least he's hitting for contact. The bullpen has let you down a lot this year. It might not let you down all season long, but it is currently a problem. Which also means it is a problem, because is present tense. Okay, there we go. Paul Galacho, it's time for a little garbage time.
Oh, I love trash.
Garbage time.
It's garbage.
Starts now.
I'm the trash man.
This is garbage.
An Indonesian man had to undergo emergency surgery. Do you know why he had to undergo emergency surgery?
Car wreck?
No. This actually has me a little bit concerned, Sean.
Emergency appendectomy?
He fractured his penis.
Oh. Doing what?
I did not know that was possible. He was performing a notoriously risky sex position. I did not know that this was a risky sex position, but he was reportedly having intercourse in the reverse cowgirl position, where the lady and or, I guess, significant other is on top facing away from the partner.
What?
I guess this is the world's most dangerous pose.
Really?
It is responsible for 50% of penis fractures. So this is a PSA for everybody. No, we're not getting in the gutter. This is the PSA. I'm not sold that there's any position more dangerous. 50%, Sean, that's physically not possible.
What publication is this from?
This is from...
I just want to know which, like, did the LA Times or did the New York Post put in reverse cowgirl in its newspaper?
I guess so. But look, the man heard a cracking noise.
Oh,
and there was a little bit of blood, and he couldn't pee. So, oh, yeah, it's dangerous. I don't think if I ever have sex again, and I would never because it's illegal to have premarital sex. But if I ever had sex again, I don't think I'm going to do that. I just don't think I am.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. I didn't know it was that dangerous.
Yes.
I mean, it's not 50% of the time you fracture your
peen,
but...
Yeah, don't fracture your peen, everybody.
Try not to.
I'm not sold that it's good.
Yeah, but have fun out there, guys.
Yelp has a top 10 list for best barbecue in Texas. Only two Houston restaurants made it. Pinkerton's, which I ate at on Saturday. Pinkerton's is awesome. 10th. Killen's at 7th. Pinkerton's is better than Killen's. Is that a hot take? Pinkerton's is great.
I don't know. I think anything when you talk barbecue, I think it becomes people get emotional.
They do. I'm annoyed that all of the majority of the places are in Austin.
Hmm.
I don't know if Austin really has like the true barbecue vibes, if you will, anymore. Because Austin is not Texas anymore, right? I mean, Austin has changed so much just since I've lived here. The first time I visited was 2013. I go back and I do not recognize the place literally 10 years later. And on top of that, like the people that are there, that is not Texas. I feel like we should not recognize Austin barbecue.
But they're like, grading the barbecue, not the city.
I don't think the barbecue is actually authentic Texas barbecue anymore. I think it's West Coast fusion barbecue.
Some of those places are fantastic, let me tell you.
Oh yeah, name one.
Salt Lick.
I don't believe that's real.
Style Switch.
I'm not sold either of those are real. I'm not sold.
Franklin.
Franklin?
Franklin Barbecue.
I think I ate at Franklin, actually.
You probably did. That's kind of the tourist.
Franklin was pretty good. Oh, the tourist one.
Oh, that is what it is.
Just talk down to me a little bit more.
I didn't talk down. I just said that's what it is.
Okay.
That is the one that I would be like, yeah, Paul's probably had that.
Yeah.
Did you wait outside in the line?
You're implying that I'm
take
basic.
Take some selfies.
You just implied that I'm basic with that one. And right. I don't take kindly to that.
Did you go during ACL weekend?
No, I did not. In the least surprising news of garbage time, Antonio Brown, who some dumbass gave a $1.095 million piece of jewelry. Guess what Antonio Brown didn't do? Pay for it.
I feel like he does that a lot.
Why would you give Antonio Brown anything? Unless you're giving it to him as a gift.
Yeah. Yes. It's the ultimate, like... If you give Antonio Brown anything, do not expect to get paid back.
Legitimately. I mean, I got to say, like, credit to him for somehow still finding a way to get people to give him money. This person was taking selfies with him all over the place. But
well,
that's
worth more than money. The experience of hanging out with AB.
And I think that was it. The celebrity jeweler, Shuki International. But do you think that Antonio Brown, even when you get money, you give him money to hang out with him so that he'll hang out with you, excuse me. Do you think that Antonio Brown doesn't half-ass it there either?
Yeah,
like, he's gonna like, oh, I gotta go to the bathroom and be gone immediately.
For 5 hours, like Jim Irsay?
Yes, with the $1 million piece of jewelry on him, probably.
I think part of it also is that you hope that that Antonio Brown does some Antonio Brown stuff afterwards.
That would get some publicity. Like,
yeah, I mean,
hey,
we're talking about it. Like, if he gave that chain to, I don't know. I was trying to think of, like, a very respectable, like, yeah. Just athlete X who just pays him back $1 million. I don't know. I don't feel like we're talking about it.
Probably not.
If he gave that chain to Tom Brady.
Whoa.
Tom Brady with $1 million chain.
Don't say that. Although, Tom Brady and FTX, Not looking great either.
Tom Brady would never commit fraud, except for that one time, this past year that he committed fraud.
It wasn't his fault.
Oh.
It was Tom Brady's fault for looking at an ugly person and saying, hey, I'm going to trust this guy with my brand. Sam Bankman, my big take on Sam Bankman-Fried is, like, that guy was ugly and looked disheveled, and you trusted this man with your multi-million dollar empire.
This is a lot to get into the last, like, 15 seconds of the show, but I think part of it is that he looked disheveled. So he looked like a guy who's like, listen, all he's about is the numbers. He doesn't look what he's wearing. Well, he doesn't care about sandals or you know, what's on his feet or what his hair looks like.
It turns out he was also about polygamy and the sex. And
who isn't? Stay safe, Sam Bankman-Fried.
And that's going to wrap up today's Paul Gallant Show.
I have an article to send you about about big, positions.
Big thanks to Sean Mabes behind the glass. Yeah, that's true. I suppose I'm a bit hypocritical for talking over that. Killer Bees are up next. So long, farewell. Have yourselves a wonderful Tuesday. Peace.
I'm not sold CJ Stroud is going number two.
I'm just not convinced just yet.
I'm not sold. No.
ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Real. Fun. Sports.
Now at McDonald's, a McDouble is only $2.50. So you can get your gym gains on or just get lunch for only $2.50. Get more value on the under $3 menu.
Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. Prices may be higher for delivery.
Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on two purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.